This Christmas Eve is going to be just a beautiful night. I want to encourage all of you to come out. It'll be very intimate. We are going to include candlelight and communion this year, which we haven't done years past, and it will just be a beautiful night of worship. And by the way, I always want to remind you of this. There are those around you in society and culture that they grew up going to a Christmas candlelight service, a communion service. And so they maybe haven't been in church now in a long time, but if you will invite them, you just might be surprised. It will take them back to something that was a tradition within their family, and they just might be willing to show up here on Christmas Eve. So we encourage you to be inviting people as well. Matthew chapter 1, we have some scripture to read today. You can look to the screen if you don't have your Bibles open there, beginning with verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife and knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Then over, if you're turning, Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. We are now chronicling in time Elizabeth's pregnancy as he opens up, the relative of Mary. In the sixth month of her pregnancy, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to the man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. It's often said that all that God is looking for is a willing heart. And just give him a willing heart and he can do great things. And we've seen that evidence throughout all of history. And interesting enough, oftentimes the very ones that God does call to do something for him, especially in the scriptures, something great for him, many times were the most unwilling of individuals. You can think back, of course, of Moses or Gideon or Jonah or Jeremiah, Zechariah in the New Testament, Elizabeth's husband, just to name a few. Not the most willing of individuals when God came calling. And then we come to the most famous, certainly the most important couple in the history of mankind, Mary and Joseph. And her name, of course, is held in honor today literally by billions of people. And Joseph, meanwhile, is known but definitely has kind of remained in her shadow for centuries. Yet both of them carry a quality that as we turn to this Christmas morning, a Sunday morning, look ahead to this week, it is a quality that all of us can consider this time of year. I hadn't really intended it, but when we came to this month of Advent, I did want to stick to our 2015 and 2015 reading for those of you that are just wrapping that up and you've journeyed all year long with us. And so I wanted to stay true to the theme of what we've done all year long. And I came to 1 John chapter 1 through chapter 5, that little book, and I realized that John there gave us the wonder of what it was to have been with Jesus when he walked upon the earth, the wonder of the incarnation. And so we looked at wonder 2 weeks ago and how important wonder is. And wonder is something, especially the older that we get, that we tend to lose in all aspects of life. And we need to seek to retain the wonder of all things, and especially this week, to retain the wonder of Christmas. And then we came last week to the book of Revelation. And we realize how it relates as well to the incarnation of Christmas season, especially chapter 5, and then the closing, the very closing words of the entire Bible, chapter 22, remind us that Jesus, he himself reminds us that he came through the descendant as a descendant of David. And so we realized again the worship throughout Revelation, but it ends with the worship of Jesus as it relates to incarnation. Now today we come to Matthew and Luke's Gospels, and we see another quality here surrounding the birth of Christ, and that is the willingness of Christmas. So we've looked at the wonder, we've looked at worship, now we will look at willingness. In Joseph, we find a man that we know very little of. The biblical accounts give us only a sketch of who he was, and by the end of the Gospels, we have a hint that possibly he lived into the time of Jesus' ministry, those last 3.5 years that Jesus walked upon the earth. We're not sure of that. And by we're almost certain, we can surmise that he was not there at the time of the crucifixion. We know he was of the lineage of King David. We know that he was a very religious man. We realize that he lived according to the law as he brought, according to the custom, to the temple. He brought Jesus after Mary's time of purification, etc. And Matthew adds for us, as we just read, verse number 19 there, Matthew chapter 1, that Mary, her husband Joseph, being a just man and willing and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Holding to the law of Moses, Mary had on all accounts been unfaithful to her husband. The espousal of that 1 year of a period of being a fiancé to Joseph, she had obviously been unfaithful. She had been sinful and immoral, which meant a disgrace upon her, a very public humiliation, beyond that a heavy punishment that would fall upon her. And where would that leave Joseph? But with every right, as we would read the law of Moses, to bring the shame upon her, but also a man who would be bewildered at the thought that the woman that he loved and desired to marry, he would not spend the rest of his life with. And as Matthew describes him, a just man, the word there meaning a righteous man or a man who is equitable, if you will. So then we see that he had every right then to follow through on the law of Moses. It would be justice to do so. And yet instead, Joseph had already chosen to quietly divorce her and move on with his life. And it shows an amazing aptitude for mercy and for forgiveness. But verse 20, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, lineage of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her to be his wife. Unwilling to publicly disgrace her, he was willing to obey the voice of the Lord. So unwilling to go ahead and go with what the law said to do, he was willing to go with what grace said to do. Mary, we know much better, and we've heard so many sermons about her through the years. We follow her story for centuries now. We've sung her song for centuries. We see her all the way through to the cross, even into the book of Acts, the New Testament church. And she's startled by, of course, the angel. Any angel would startle any of us, but beyond that, by what the angel says to her. Oh, favored one, the Lord is with you. Clearly, she would be as you would be, any of us here, to say, little old me. And greatly troubled, she receives the word that within her is literally the Son of the Most High, repeated later, the Son of God within her womb. And greatly troubled then, she simply asks, how can this be? For I am a virgin. He answers, it is by the Holy Spirit. She responds, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So Joseph did as the angel had commanded, and Mary says, let it be according to your word. Willingness. You know, willingness is a vital part of your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you say, I want to follow the Lord with my life in the remainder of this year, 2015, and as I move into year 2016, willingness plays a vital part of this. The disciples were willing, it says, to leave their nets, those three fishermen, Peter, James, and John, and to go and to follow Jesus. Matthew was willing to leave his tax collecting business. Simon was willing to leave the desire to overthrow Rome and to follow this man, Jesus. There is a willingness that is a part of following Christ. And if you're here today and you in your heart say, well, I'm not quite sure whether I want to follow Jesus or not, it will take a willingness on your part to open your heart to Christ and say, I indeed do want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. It is a moment of decision, a moment of will to do so. And after you've done that the rest of your life, it will be a willingness to keep serving the Lord. What if Mary had not been willing? What if Joseph had not been willing? I mean, history could have been forever altered. God would have had to come up with a different plan. But Joseph and Mary provide for us a great reminder of what it is not only just for Christmas, but what it is for all the year as we serve the Lord, to have a willingness to do the will of God. They model for us three things this morning that I want to note. First of all, to be willing in submissive obedience to follow the Lord. Now, we see their story through 21st century lenses today, but the willingness of these two demanded an absolute submission to something that was so beyond them. It was shocking. It was so unorthodox. It was certainly not easy, and it revolved around two wills, God's will and their will. And so you can only imagine for them, I mean, put yourself in either one of their shoes. They are both in an absolute quandary, I'm sure, as to what do we do with this? Are we willing to go with the plan that God has for us? I'm sure that Joseph had all kinds of other ideas for how he would spend his life as a father. And then came the plan of God. I'm sure that Mary had other ideas, as any young little Jewish girl would, and the dreams of her future, the dreams of raising her children, and how her children would turn out. But then came the will and the plan of God. No doubt Mary, no doubt Joseph, as they achieved this and followed this plan together, had moments in their lives they looked at one another and thought, what did we do when we said yes to God? What did we create for ourselves? Just take those few moments, really, just seconds, really, because Gabriel didn't beat around the bush at all. Just a few words that would forever alter whatever they had in mind of just living their lives as two ordinary Jewish people. But yet they said yes in those few moments. And sure, angels demand a little more focus than the average guy in the street, but prophets like Jonah and Jeremiah, many of those I mentioned just a moment ago, those people heard from God, but they wrestled. Those people kind of had a battle with God. How many know Jonah's didn't work out real well for him initially? Ended up swallowed by a big fish. And as we look at Gideon, most of us can all here identify with Gideon. Gideon is a very insecure man. He's a man that's frightened because at that point the Midianites were really giving it to the Israelites. And so he's the guy saying to God, I am the last person in the world to lead this army that you want to against this mighty nation that's invaded us. But in every single case we see in Scripture where God calls someone to do something, there has to be the moment of submission, a moment of surrender. And this isn't just of the greats or the famous past or present, but it's true of every one of us here today. And as you conclude your 2015 and you begin to put your eyes onto a 2016, I want to encourage you today, whatever God has for you, I encourage you to be submissive to the plan of God for your life. And if you don't know what it is, then to be in a posture of submissiveness, a posture of a willing heart. Have a heart that says to God, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And that is why reading the word of God, remaining in the word, and I'd encourage you even now to begin to make your plans in 2016, to read through the Bible in the course of the year. It's just a healthy thing for every follower of Christ to do, because he'll speak to you through his word and you'll want to obey his word. And if you say, but I don't know anything specific that God wants me to do, then you have not read your Bible. Turn to your neighbor and say, we really need to read our Bibles this year. Okay. because it's full of specifics. Matter of fact, turn them again and say, it's full of specifics. Okay, go ahead. This can be as simple as God whispering to your heart and tapping on your shoulder, as Pastor Justin, I know, would love. But for you to feel that little sense within you that there's a group of Royal Rangers up there on Wednesday nights that need a few more commanders, and it's been laid on your heart, but you kind of wrestle with God. It could be that sense of, you know, I really just kind of feel drawing to help out in the nursery, or to be a greeter, to be an usher, to serve in some capacity, to sing in the choir, whatever it might be. And there's been that little tapping, and you resist that. All of us know what that is, something as small as that. Or it could be as great as the couple that I sat with 2 weeks ago in my office from Northwest Indiana. We shared a commonality there, my family, my parents, my dad's family in that region of Indiana. And here they left in their mid-40s. They left a flourishing business, but feeling God was calling them and their children as teenagers to leave Northwest Indiana and to go to Cambodia. Can you imagine? And they sold out and they went. And how thrilling to hear their story of obeying the will of God. And see, our danger is that we tend to sort of glamorize those kind of submissions over other kinds of submissions. But the bottom line today is that God has called all of us to do something, that God has gifted all of us uniquely. How many of you know we don't all have the gift of Greg and Sarah on the piano this morning? Matter of fact, none of us do. Let's just admit it right here. Okay. But you know what? God gifted, God blessed, and they're to use that for his glory. But it's true of every single one of us. None of us are out of this. It's so easy for some to sit back and think, well, that's what you're called to do, or that's what others are called to do. But as for me, I just kind of sit back, and I really don't know what God wants me to do. Read your Bible, okay? That will begin. But beyond that, I think God will reveal to you that he has something for you to do. And how many stories have begun with the small things, the little things? Matter of fact, as Pentecostals, we cherish Zechariah chapter 6, verse 4, right? It is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Zechariah 4, 6. Four verses later, then, it says this: do not despise small beginnings if the Lord is in them. See, because it's not by us anyway. It's by the Spirit of God. But then four verses later, Zechariah reminds us, because that's why we look at even the smallest of things. If the Holy Spirit's anointing is upon it, it will make a difference in this world we live in. So how many stories I've heard, and you've heard through the years. It was a Sunday school class one morning, and the teacher said this, and my heart leapt within me, change the rest of my life. It was a counselor at camp, and we were around the campfire. And that counselor said to me this, and I said this, and God began to speak and work in my heart. It was a greeter at the door. It was an usher, someone with a friendly smile. I'll never forget the impact that they made upon my life. It was a coworker who there was just something different about him or her. And they impacted everyone around them and ultimately impacted me for Christ. Many times it's those small little things, but they become great when we're willing to submit to what God wants us to do. And probably all of us here at one time or another have done something out of compulsion or out of pressure. But you know, if everyone in the body of Christ just simply did what God had called them to do, there'd be no needs, there'd be no overtired workers, volunteers. There'd be no people that were just so weary because they're involved in 15 different ministries. Why? Because everyone would be picking up and doing what God has called them to do. Can you imagine if that happened in the entire body of Christ worldwide? Everyone used their gift for God. What would happen? So it seems a great call or a small call. It doesn't matter. What matters is a willing heart to obey, like Joseph and Mary. Second thing we note about them is a willingness to be willing no matter what the cost. And that's what probably holds back at least some people, isn't it? What is following Jesus going to cost me? What is that ministry going to cost me? It just might be what we often overlook the most about Mary and Joseph. We know their ultimate cost. It ended up at a Roman crucifixion. It ended up with a mob of people crying out and screaming and yelling that they want to see more blood of their son poured forth. You talk about a painful reality. How horrible for any parent to go through. But the cost came all along the way. As we see at times, Mary would show up with Jesus' natural brothers, and he would be doing his ministry and doing the work that God the Father had called him to. And you can sense in Mary a sense of maybe rejection or a sense of being a little bit pushed back from her own earthly son, an abandonment, if you will, because Jesus is doing what God had called him to do. Even as early as the age of 12, I mentioned last week, Jesus trying to explain to frustrated parents, don't you know that I have to be about my father's business? And there stands Joseph, his father. The cost was already being felt. But this came much earlier. Oh, at the very beginning, just after Mary's time of purification, that 33 days. And after those 7 days and then the 8th day that Jesus would be circumcised, so 40 days later, he is brought to the temple and Simeon takes him into his arms and says, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your soul also. How many know that's not what you want to hear your baby's dedication? And Joseph and Mary would pay a great price for their obedience from the very beginning. How could they explain their pregnancy to their family and their friends, especially the religious leaders? Who would believe their story of angels and messengers that are coming from God sent to them? Who would take Mary's story and the sense in her heart to say, but I really do believe this is really something that God has for me? How many weeks or months would there be whispering around the city, the town of Bethlehem? How many years might it take? 3-4 years later, the neighborhood is still talking. If you were a good, God-fearing, law-abiding Jew, then this couple was completely out of the will of God, according to the law of Moses. So it cost them from the very beginning. Some of the saddest conversations I've had through the years have been with people who felt that God had called them to do something and they didn't do it. And then days pass and weeks and months and years and they're looking back. And I've had this conversation many, many times. They just didn't submit to the call that God had for their life. Now some clearly sensed something, felt something, and then they kind of worked it out and realized that that wasn't really the path God had. And for some reason, whatever it was, they had to kind of work through that. But I'm talking about others that knew, they knew that they knew, and it carried for them throughout all their lives. One man literally fell into my dad's arms one day as he deboarded a plane in Texas. County sheriff had died, and where dad had previously pastored that church, they called him back then to perform the funeral services. But to meet him as he came off the plane was this man who fell into his arms. And in that small little church, the man had served and served and served. He was the Sunday school superintendent, as we called it in that day. He was a treasurer of the board. He taught Sunday school, even cleaned the church all by himself. He really, most everything came through him and then to my father as the pastor. So after 2.5 years, mom and dad finally said, you know, they just felt in their hearts just to move on because it seemed like they weren't really quite free to lead and to go with the church where they felt God was leading because of this man impeded the process. Now, all these years later, dad comes back and is stepping down off of that plane. And here comes this man in tears. First man to greet him, threw his arms around my dad, said, Pastor. He said, Pastor, I had a call on my life to go to China as a boy, and I've known it all of my life, and I was unwilling to go, and that's why I always did so much around the church, and I've already spoken to several pastors that followed you at the church, but I was trying to make up for what I should have been doing in China there in that little church in Texas. The cost was just too great. Listen, whatever God calls you to do today, trust me, whatever it is, if you will obey him, I am confident that he'll bless you. And even though there were trials, even though there was difficulties, I assure you this, if you will obey the will and the call of God on your life, I believe that Mary and Joseph lived in the blessing of God in their lives, but it wasn't easy. And that's my second point. I'm also confident is his will always cost you something, sometimes something great. Abraham had to leave his family. Later, he was called to take Isaac and sacrifice him on an altar. Hannah brought and left little Samuel at the tabernacle there at Shiloh after he was weaned. Moses left his family to go out to the desert, face Pharaoh. He had to face his own insecurities, as many had to do in Scripture, to do the will of God. Gideon had to do the same, stepped out after a few fleeces, but then to lead Israel into battle. Prophet after prophet after prophet paid the great high price of obeying God. It's just story after story, and it's true for every single one of us here today. So I don't know what you might be sensing from God, but all I can say is this: in submissive obedience, be willing to do the will of God no matter what the cost. And third, be willing in submissive obedience, no matter the cost, be willing holding to faith. See, anyone like Joseph and Mary who says yes to the Lord does that in faith. They start out in faith, but you know what? It's only the beginning. Then comes the journey that follows the obedience to that call of faith. It's a reason we do, according to the Apostle James, we do for God out of faith, out of believing in him. It says the writer of Hebrews listed one after another, Hebrews chapter 11, by faith so-and-so did the following. It's because faith without works is dead, James says. And so Joseph and Mary are really the epitome of who we call the faithful. When Joseph woke from his sleep, it says, he did as the angel Lord commanded him, and he took her to be his wife. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then both of them had to walk out their faith. Through all the trials, through all the journey of life together, raising Jesus, releasing Jesus, and following Jesus as Mary did all the way to the cross so that God's plan would be fulfilled. And notice today, it really wasn't about Mary and Joseph. It was about Jesus. And that's how it is all through the Word of God. It's never really about the person. It's never really about the character. It's always about God, his will, his purpose in the earth. Jesus is the incredible gift that God has given us. And really, we're all carrying that gift into our world. You might look at yourself today and realize you, in essence, are a package under the tree. And all of us are different shapes and sizes, different colors and different bows and different this and that. But what really matters is not the box. What really matters is the present that's inside of the box. And that's Jesus. And so as we leave today, as we go into our world this week, we realize we carry the most wonderful gift that the world has ever known. We carry Jesus inside of these wrappings, inside of these boxes of ours. The only reason the box exists is because of Jesus. So whatever he calls you to do, be willing in submissive obedience, no matter the cost, hanging on to your faith to do what God calls you to do. And the interesting thing as we close this morning is that truthfully, no one even came close. Not even Mary and Joseph, who we can learn from in this story. None compare to the willingness of the man named Jesus. For he submissively obeyed the will of his Father, no matter the cost, and he did it by faith, trusting in his Father. When he knelt in the garden and he wept, and the Bible says he sweat drops of blood because he knew what was ahead of him. It was not just a Roman crucifixion, as horrible and painful and physical as that was. It was all of the physicality of that moment. But more than that, he knew he was about to bear the sins of the entire world upon himself. His soul and his spirit would break under the load of carrying your sin and my sin. But you know what he said? He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Submissive obedience, a humility before God, no matter what the cost, holding to faith because he trusted his Father. How about you today? How willing are you before God to say, Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be for me according to what your word is, your will is. No matter the cost, no matter what it'll take in faith, I am willing to follow you. The question this morning is, are you willing to be willing? Are you willing to be willing? Because simply today, this Christmas, God may, he is, wanting you to be like Mary and Joseph and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do in this life. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And on this Sunday before Christmas, as we looked at the wonder of Christmas, could you just take a moment in your heart? And again, I want to remind you to capture once again the wonder of this time of the year. And if you've lost it, please seek to regain. Say, how do I do that? Well, just ask God. Pray about it. Say, Lord, give me the wonder. I've done that in recent days. I said, Lord, let me recapture it. Let me capture what I felt at the age of 16. I remember it distinctly, Lord. Let me capture it as a little child. Let me capture the wonder of your incarnation. Let me capture it as when I first gave my life to you, Lord. Let me capture the wonder of your incarnation, of Jesus coming to this earth. And oh, make a determination to worship this Christmas. If you're able to come out Christmas Eve, make it a night of worship. As in just a moment, we will close with a song, determined to worship God. But capture the wonder and enter into the worship, but also see what Joseph and Mary modeled for you in the willingness of Christmas, the willingness to receive whatever God has for you, especially as we enter this season, but even into a new year, to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you've called me to do. I want to obey your will for my life. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. And Lord, also thank you for all the boxes and presents and wrappings that are in this room this morning, Lord. We're all different shapes and sizes. We all have different colors, Lord, and different bows upon us. But Lord, what matters today is not us. What matters today, Lord, is you as the greatest gift that any of us could ever receive. Lord, I pray that each one of us, before we'd walk out of this room, that we would have you within our heart, within our soul today, Jesus. And Lord, thank you for your willingness, your obedience. Thank you for, no matter what the cost was of going to the cross, thank you, Lord, that you willingly did it because you love us enough and you trusted the Father's plan and you really walked it out in faith. Thank you, Jesus, so that we can have you as our gift today. Thank you, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, before we close, I would like to invite anyone that is here this morning that if maybe once in your life you've done this, or maybe never in your life you've ever done this, but you realize today that you need to open your heart to Jesus, that you need to have your sins forgiven. The secret is out. We've already sung about it earlier in our worship. The bottom line to all of this is that Jesus came so that we would have a Savior, that we wouldn't die and perish and go to an eternity apart from God, but Jesus provided the way so all of us could have an eternity with God. He made the way that the Bible says of salvation, that we are saved from our sins. That is why you would call his name Jesus, Yeshua. He will save his people from their sins. That's true of every single one of us here today. And so if there'd just be one person, there'd be 5 or 10 people this morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask Christ to come into your heart and into your life, for God to forgive you of your sins, and let this be the most wonderful Christmas you've ever had in your life as you open your heart to him this morning. And I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer with us. This is not some kind of a mantra, anything like that, but we do tend to repeat a basic prayer according to the book of Romans, chapters 3 and 5 and 10 and 13. And based upon that scripture, would you pray this with me today? I'm going to invite the whole church on this wonderful Christmas Sunday morning to pray these words together. And if it's you today, would you pray with us? Just utter these words with us today. Oh God, thank you for Jesus, the greatest gift of all. I acknowledge my sin. I know I've lived my own way. I've not done your will. I've not followed your plan. God, please forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Change me from the inside out. Make me what you created me to be. I open my heart to you. I believe in Jesus Christ, that he came as a baby, that he went to the cross, that he died for the sins of the world, that he was raised again, that he's alive today. And I believe in him now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? It's a great hymn of the church. We're not going to sing all of it this morning, but in response, I want to invite you to sing, Take My Life, Lord, and Let It Be. And all we're going to do is say, Take My Life, Take My Hands. Then we'll move to chapter or verse 4, Take My Will and Take My Heart, which handles all of it right there. And then we're going to move into a time of worship, and oh, come, let us adore him. But I want you to prepare your hearts for this, if you will, for just a moment. Are you determined to say, Lord, I want to do your will? Would you weigh that in your heart just for a moment? Are you able to say like Mary, Lord, whatever it is, then is your plan, I'm there. I want to do your will. Are you there today like Joseph to do what the Lord has said and to follow through in what he's called you to do today? It takes a surrender. It takes a willingness. Let's sing it then in worship to him today, giving him our lives. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. And take my will and make it thine. It shall be no Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Oh, come, let us lift our hands to worship him and offer our hearts to him this morning as we close the service. You alone are worthy, Lord. You alone are worthy, Jesus. You alone are worthy. And we offer you our lives today, Lord. We offer you our hearts, Lord. We offer you our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our minds, all that we are, Lord. Oh, come, let us adore you this season. And all of the year, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we leave in just a moment, we thank you for this wonderful time of the year, and we know our worship is not complete corporately as we look ahead to Christmas Eve. But Lord, as we leave, we thank you for each person here. And as we've opened our hearts and our lives to you, Lord, I pray that you would use our wills. You would use our willing obedience and our submission to you, God, today. And then let us shine for you. And over the next few days, Lord, amidst all the schedule and the busyness, the hurriness, everything that will lead us finally to where we're there, the gifts are wrapped, everything is completed. Lord, I pray throughout this week we would not forget to let the true gift be given to our world, Jesus. So use us for your glory. All of our flaws, all of our lack, Lord, I pray you would fill us with you and that we would shine for you and offer you as the great gift this Christmas to someone else. and for your glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen this morning. Amen. We pray that you'll have a wonderful Christmas. If you don't make it to us Christmas Eve, then we'll see you next Sunday morning. Pray you have a wonderful time with family, friends. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Thankful to have you with us this morning.